Hi, I'm Kyle on episode 503 of the MWA podcast. Sean, Brian, and myself are asking Mike Pfeiffer the five questions. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out Mike's interview on episode 502. So welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
So before we get started with the five questions, who do we have to thank this week as our Patreon supporter?
As always, we're giving a big shout out to our Patreon supporters. Today, we're giving a shout out to our very own Anthony Morais, otherwise known as Chef Morais, super top-notch guy, recent guest on the show as well. If you would like to support the MWA podcast, you can go to patreon.com/MWA podcast, and we very much appreciate your support.
Yes. And another person that said, hey, Mike Pfeiffer is a fantastic guy.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I took a class with Anthony, and he's a pretty special guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he mentioned you when we had him on recently, and we go, yeah, we're having Mike on in a few weeks. And went, oh, that's fantastic. He's such a great guy. Well, speaking of great guys, let's talk about great tools. So what is your favorite tool, Mike?
Well, I came out in the shop this morning to look around and try to figure out what my favorite tool is, and I couldn't just pick one. So we got to go through a few here.
Yeah, like I said, 23 is our limit. So,
all right. My favorite ads, the Jason Lonnan ads.
Oh, really? Cool.
My favorite Scorp, Lucian Avery. And I think you have to go through George Sawyer to buy it because it's a Sawyer design.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite Travisher, Alan Williams. Favorite draw knife, the Ariu, unless it's the little 4-inch. And then I think File makes it, but Lee Valley sells it. And then if you've got a draw knife, you got to have the Galbert Draw Sharp for sharpening it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then I got to say it because it's true. For seat drilling, stretcher drilling, and spindle drilling, there is only BB Custom Tools.
And that $20 is in the mail.
Yep, in the mail.
I said this butternut seat I did the other day while the kids were taking a nap,
mm-hmm.
I drilled the 4 leg holes, the 2 arm post holes, and the back center spindle hole in, I don't know, like barely more than a half hour. Yeah. And reamed them, everything. And speaking of reamers, my favorite manual reamer is the Tim Maney.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite, I guess you'd call it sort of power reamer, you chuck it in a drill, is the one from Sean Murphy. I like the 6-degree one. So I use that with your seat drilling rig.
Yes.
So I drill the hole first. I don't move the jig at all. And then I put the reamer in there, ream out that hole, and move on to the next one. And it's like, mm-hmm. lickety split fast and accurate. Accurate, yeah. as can be.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's why I make them.
Yes.
Yep. And that's why I got to set it both shops.
Yeah. And then, I was giving Mike a hard time when I first became aware of Mike was when he was ordering my tools, and he ordered a set, and then a month or so later, he orders a whole nother set. I'm like, mm-hmm. what's going on? And then you enforce me. Oh, I have two shops.
Yeah. And then, okay, angles. The Lost Art Press Bevel Monkey and their Chair Pan Z. And the Bevel Monkey is just an angle, board of angles. But it's a black background with white marks on it. It's so easy to see. And then the Chair Pan Z is just for if you're fooling around, sort of doing your own chair design. It makes it really easy to figure out the resultant angle and the do your drilling at.
Yeah, I need to pick one of those up. I've occasionally had to do that, and it's like there's a couple of calculators out there on the internet that I've used before, but yeah, it'd be nice to have something in my hands I could just quickly go boop boop boop, done.
Yeah, no, it's so easy.
Yeah,
those kind of like card slide calculators are so cool. Like there's a couple. I work for an engineering company in piping industry specifically, and there's a couple for that where, you know, certain vendors have produced these things with, like, you know, there's numbers and things moving around, but like as you slide it around, it works. That's such a novelty, but a useful novelty in the space there. It's super cool.
Yeah. All right, dovetail saws. I have both Rob Cosman and the Lee Nielsen, and I gotta tell you, I really like them both. The Cosman has I forget, it's like 22 teeth per inch right at the very tip.
At the tip, yeah.
and then 15. So if I'm just doing a regular dovetail, I'll often start with that and just finish with it. But when I was doing the center pedestal, the three dovetails for the pie crust table,
mm-hmm.
That was helpful to start. But then I switched to the Lee Nielsen because it had the same teeth all along. And that mm-hmm. was easier to when I had to go deep. And remember, you're sort of butting up the end of that cut.
Yeah.
You're not like going across a board. You're going, right. you're creating a mortise.
Right.
And so that was easier there. So I can't pick one there. I love them both.
Are they a similar kerf? Meaning one wider than the other?
You know, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very close. I'm just wondering.
It's got to be pretty close. Yeah.
It has to be pretty close. But I know the Cosman is a fairly subtle. Is it fleam when they bend the teeth side to side? Where, you know, it's very specific to what he was doing, and I love it for it. But Lee Nielsen has as much as well.
Cool, I like both. Like,
yeah, they use them in kind of concert with each other. It's awesome.
Yeah. I use the flush cut saw a lot, and I've tried different ones, but that little inexpensive one from, I don't know how to pronounce it, Suzanne, or the Japanese company.
Is it Jap saw? So it's a pull style?
Yeah. And you can flip it either way, and it works great.
Cool. Where'd you pick that up at? If you remember.
Well, they sell direct on Amazon, but I think I got it from one of the woodworking companies.
Okay.
You know, one of the traditional ones, whether it's Lee Valley or Highland Woodworking or one of those. Mm-hmm. But they're readily available, and I think they're less than $10.
Oh, nice. I think I have like a Stanley saw.
Yeah.
I used the Stanley at first, but this is way better.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
I'll have to give that a try. I have a Lee Valley branded one. I don't know who makes it, but
I have the same one. Yeah,
it works fairly well, but I was looking to upgrade it because it can bite a little bit and can be hard to start sometimes. But
well, when I use this one, you see a lot of things on Instagram where somebody lays down a piece of paper or something to lift it.
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah,
you don't need to do that with this one.
Cool.
Oh, really?
I flat right on the wood.
And there's no fear of marring the surface.
If you try, you could. If you twist it, you could do it. But if you leave it reasonably flat, you got no risk whatsoever.
Hmm.
Do you rest your fingertips on it to hold it down?
Absolutely.
Similarly? Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And they are breathtakingly sharp. Make sure that when that thing comes through, there's no flesh anywhere near it. Okay, next one, hand planes. I think one of my very favorite is the Lee Nielsen 5.5. I mean, mm-hmm. that thing is a beast, but it will
workhorse. Yeah, it will.
It really does a nice job. I know I should be using a 5 or something like that, but that 5.5 is, I like it. And then I have a Lee Nielsen number 4 bronze that I mm-hmm. got engraved by Jennifer.
Oh,
and wow. It is really nice. And she went on my IG page and found a chair I did. Where I took a Peter Galbert design for his drawing chair, and I converted it from a bow back to a fan back, and she engraved that image on it.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize it till I saw it, and then I talked to her, and that's what she surprised me with it, and that was wonderful.
Mm.
She's pretty special.
Yeah, she's awesome.
All right. I like the Veritas block plane and their large router plane, but I like the Lee Nielsen shoulder planes.
Yep. Yeah.
See, and I have a Veritas shoulder plane. I think I do.
I do. I do.
I'd have to.
Unfortunately, back in the day, I followed everyone's directions and I got the medium one, and I should have got the large one. Either one.
You know, a one-inch wide shoulder plane seems daunting, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, when will I ever need that kind of heft?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have the small one and the medium. I don't bother with the big one.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what block plane do you have? Do you have their as far as the Veritas one? You have the more Art Deco looking one.
Yeah. I have the race car one.
Yeah. I love that one. I have one too. Yeah, that's my favorite.
And then I took a class with Matt Bickford, so I got a few hollows and rounds from his, and I'm still trying to learn how to use them, but they're kind of fun. So. And I would highly recommend him as an instructor, too. If you get a chance to take a 1 or 2 day class with him, definitely go for it. Let's see, coping or fret saw, the new concepts, titanium. I like that one.
Yep. I have the aluminum, but yeah, it's nice.
And then workbenches. I sort of retirement gift. I treated myself to a bench crafted split top Rubo.
Ooh.
Nice. Oh, nice. Nice.
And then I also.
Glad Mark's absent for this episode.
Yeah. Played 11, not attending.
I'll get to him in a minute. But also on workbenches, I wanted to give a shout out to Sean Murphy's little split top mini Rubo chair maker one.
Mm hmm.
It's a few inches shorter, and it's not quite square. It's almost square. I would say sort of, I'm looking at it now, like 30 inches by 36 inches or something. And it has one leg vise. I got benchcrafted hardware on mine. And it's really, really nice and easier for me to do a lot of the chair things on it rather than on the big benchcrafted
workbench.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
He does them in small batches. Like one year he made four and I managed to get one of them. And it's I'd highly recommend it. Let's see. Well, I've tried, I think, every scraper known to mankind. And I always fall back on the Crucible tools.
Yep.
And then the ones from Stu Mac, the
carbide ones?
Yeah, the thick ones.
Yeah, the real thick. They're small and real thick.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're easy to... You're sharpening them on your grinder, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Then, I have one of those. I love that too. Yeah. It's fantastic.
The AccuBurr burnisher has improved my burnishing quite a bit. And then before I took classes with Dan Faya, I never thought there was really any use for woodworking for files, but I saw some of the magic he could do in tight places and shaping, cabriole legs and things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, tell you a Nicholson 49 or 50 rasp, and then the other ones I use a lot are the Nicholson bastard cut, and I have three different sizes, sort of a small, medium, and large, and I use them all the time now.
Interesting. Yeah I started using files a little bit more in some of my stuff too, as far as actual woodworking. Rasp were pretty a lot of people use rasp, but yeah, you can really do some interesting stuff with, especially some of those very, very fine cut files, as far as sneaking up, especially like inside corners and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, like doing the knuckles on a, on the hand for a Windsor chair. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
And then vices. I made a few vices this summer, mostly using bench crafted hardware, but I made a Moxon vise using the Wood River hardware that Rob Cosman says he's Cosmanized it.
Mm-hmm.
he's added a spring and he's added some bushings that make it work a little nicer. And I really like that Moxon vise. I made it a little extra tall so I don't have to stoop over to cut dovetails. And then I took a high vise that I had and made a whole new body for it that's taller. And what I was thinking I wanted to do was take two sets of their, what do they call the cross brace in the middle?
Oh, the crisscross.
Crisscross. I thought making a tall Moxon vise with two of those crisscrosses in it would work out really well.
With two?
Yeah, one on each side.
For the Moxon stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you could make an incredible Moxon vise that way.
That would be
interesting.
Heavy. Wow, yeah.
From a low bench to a high Moxon vise, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would self-adjust. That would be interesting.
Yeah, and keep it relatively coplanar at the same time. The only thing that would do with the Moxon would, I don't know, how would it adapt to an angled piece?
I don't know. Pull out your old Moxon vise, the one you're not using anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like the one I have that's it's benchcrafted hardware, but it's a vash in between. I could hold something that's probably, 14, 15 degrees angled without problem because there's just two independent threads holding it.
Yeah, it would still work the same, but it should.
It should.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should, because they're going to balance each other on either side. Interesting.
I don't know. Mike, I'll have to get you in touch with Jamil and see,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did approach him to see if he would sell me just the crisscross, and he said they're not there yet. So
okay.
I'm hanging in there. I'm waiting. I'm gonna figure out pester him once a year until he gives in.
Yeah,
I might need a CAD draw that a little bit just to see how it might work.
I did see a guy on YouTube that made this fantastic bench. I think we talked about it after the show last time we recorded, and he had a Moxon vise on this bench that would go in and out, and he had some sort of mechanism to keep the jaw from flexing. When I say up and down, you know, in the vertical plane. And it was kind of interesting.
Well, one of the best parts about the Hi-Vise hardware is that instead of having a big screw stick out and get in the way while you're trying to use the vise, it goes out the back. And then the crisscross keeps the two basically vertical faces vertical. I think in a Moxon vise application, you could still get, say, the right side to pinch in more than the left side if you wanted to, because you've got two independent screws. And you can build in enough slop where the shaft goes through so it could twist you know, left to right, but you're still got the vertical faces, which would really help.
Right. Yeah. What's the length of the smallest Moxon, or not Moxon, but the cross? I think it's like somewhere near 14 inches.
Well, no, that one he sells separately.
Okay.
But the Hi-Vise one is much shorter. And that's why I wanted the one off the Hi-Vise.
Yeah. So you're only talking about, 10 inches or so of height? You know, nothing drastic.
Yeah, it might even be. You know what? I think I measured it. It's coming back to me. I think it's like 9 inches or 8 7/8 or something.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And the one last pitch on vices. Andrew Klein's twin turbo vise.
That's a piece of art.
Functional art. Put it on your workbench facing the door, so when you come in, you can see it. Even if you never use it, it will cheer you up.
Do you promote the plexiglass cover to it?
Oh, absolutely. And before I put all the gears in, I painted the back bright red, like Catch Me If You Can, red on a car.
Oh, so you can totally see it.
Oh. Sometimes I pause at the doorway and just look at it.
Yeah, it truly is marvelous. I mean, in the truest sense of the term, it's always fun to see, you know, the videos that he posts, you know, with it in use, or anybody with it in use. That is a super, super nice vice.
Okay, grinders. I have far too many grinders, but my favorite is one by Tradesman, and it's their DC variable speed, not an AC, and you can run it as low as 400 RPM, and it'll go up to, I think, 2500 or something like that. And I run it fairly low, typically between 400 and maybe 1000, and I have two 600 grit CBN wheels on it. I have a 180 I can put on if I'm really reshaping something, but for just touching up turning tools or something, it's fantastic. And I also have a Tormek. I got this idea from being at Peter's shop. I was carving knuckles or something, and I needed a touch up, and he took the chisel, went over to his Tormek. He had a 4,000 grit Waterstone on it. And like 10 seconds later, I had a breathtakingly sharp chisel.
Sure.
I was really amazed.
Those are great. Both those, the Tormek and the Tradesman stuff, is fantastic. When my business partner Patrick was grinding the bits for me, he was using one of Tradesman's specialized machines that they make.
They do make a whole variety.
If
I look at it, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a machine that was made to resharpen end mills, but you know, he explained what he's trying to do, and they go, "You need this machine, these wheels, you know, that kind of thing."
I've helped a couple of buddies get set up, and with the inexpensive Rycon, the low speed grinder. The first guy I helped, we did the big one. I think, I don't know whether it's a 1 horsepower or something.
Yeah, they got two different versions of it.
Right. Yeah. And then the second guy, that was out of stock, so we got the smaller half horsepower. That's a better choice. because when you put the grinding wheel on it, you've got the motor body is physically smaller, so you've got more room. You're not bumping into the body or it's not getting in the way.
Yeah.
And it's cranking along at whatever 1750 RPM, same as the big one.
Okay.
And you're not going to lean into the grinding wheel to the point where you actually start to slow it down. So it's more than enough, and it's probably $100 cheaper.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, good. You justified my purchase. I have two of those.
Yeah. So if I was doing that again, I'd get the half horsepower one.
Yeah.
Okay. Waterstones, they're all good. I happen to use the Nanawa Superstones. The only advantage that I know of they have is you don't have to soak them. You can just wet them when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And then honing guide. I really, really like the Veritas Mark II and some of the attachments for it. I mean, that sucker is fantastic.
Yep.
Hmm. Have you been tempted by the new one that they came out with, the side clamping one?
Oh, I'm sure I have. It's probably over in the drawer over there, and I just haven't. I'm an easy mark for those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, are we all? Yeah.
Carving chisels. I like the files.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited from my dad a few other brands, but I still like the files the best.
Mm-hmm.
Bench chisels. I have a set of Kimmons, Kimmons, and they're really nice. It's got beautiful handles on them, but these guys hold an edge for a long time, and they're very, very nice. And then at Dan Faye's suggestion, I tried out some Hirsch just to round out some sizes I didn't have from Kimmons, and they're a thinner blade, and they're very affordable, and they seem pretty nice too. And what I found works really well for me is, so the Kimmons are, I guess, an English or American set, whatever. They're Imperial. That's what they are.
Imperial. Sure.
And the Hirsch set is metric, and that's a really nice combination to have, because sometimes you half inch is a bit too much, but 12 millimeters perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sizes that comes in handy. And then something I don't hear you guys talk about very often, but clamps, the Lee Valley aluminum squeezer clamps. Several times I've taken classes and honestly, the instructor doesn't have enough clamps. And I send them a few of these afterwards as a thank you. And they're always well received. And next time I go back to that class, everybody's using them.
Oh,
There's a blue and gold, I can't think of the brand at the moment, of squeezer clamp that's been around longer.
Irwin? I think it's Irwin.
Yeah, Irwin. The Lee Valley ones, aluminum ones, are much nicer.
Really?
Yeah.
By aluminum, the handles and the other clamping arm?
Yeah, the head and the other arm are aluminum. The actual shaft, I think, is steel or something.
Oh. Huh.
But I'd highly recommend those. And
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think I've ever seen those.
Take a look on the website.
Yeah, yeah, no, well, right now. Yeah, I know which ones he's talking about. Yeah, okay. You've seen them. However you pronounce it, Dubike.
Oh well, there's the Dubuque aluminum bar Dubuque clamps. That was the next one I was going to recommend.
Mm. But okay.
I don't think these are by Dubuque.
Okay,
but they're similar.
Yeah.
They're coming up as aluminum squeezer spreader clamps. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Levi.
They work great as a spreader too, because I've had to once in a while pick a chair apart that I put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just have some other very basic, clamper, those kind of hand squeezer kind of thing clamps. And never been really happy with them. So I might pick up a pair of these.
Yeah, I've been collecting clamps for long, long, long time. When I was a young ensign in the Navy, my future father-in-law, he'd been retired, but he was doing some part-time work as a working for the appraiser for the, every 10 years they do a reval. And he said, Mike, I've found this old cabinet maker, and he's in his 80s, and he's got cataracts, and he's given it up, and he's got a lot of nice tools. Do you want to go over and visit with him? And I went over to see this guy, and he not only was like a cabinet maker, but he'd also been a boat builder. So he had lots and lots of C clamps and bar clamps, and everything was for sale in his shop. He had an ancient Walker Turner bandsaw, and it was all heavy iron. one of the old Delta lathes, and I said to him, gee, how much to I could buy your whole shop? And I think he said $5,000. And this was 1978 or something. I said, I can't do that. You know, I think I might have $1,200 to my name or something, my whole life savings at that point. And he said, oh, I'm not. I said, well, how about if I just buy some clamps? How much? And he said, you can have all the C clamps for $50. And there was probably 50 C clamps. So wow. I said, well, what about the Jorgensens? And he said, I don't know, $2 or $3 each. So I got the Jorgensen, the bar clamps. And then I was eyeing that Walker Turner heavy iron cap bandsaw. And I said, oh, geez, how much for that? He said, $150. So I got that. And I'm doing the math in my head. How much cash do I have left here? Because I'm going to empty the bank account. And I think I walked out with almost everything in his shop for that $1,200. He calibrated the prices so to make sure I could get it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, that's great. Do you still have all those?
No. One of those, I had to move a few times for jobs. And finally, at one point, all the heavy cast iron stuff, I did sell that.
Well, that's too bad.
I kept all the clamps. So I have a lot of C clamps, which I basically almost never use anymore, but I did use them a lot in the old days.
Mm-hmm. With the boats.
Yeah, I'm putting I don't know what you call it, the rubber rail, whatever, on one of those CLC kits. You need about 50 C clamps aside.
Or the combing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have those clamps for sure.
But if I was starting out, I was buying just a few clamps, I would get those squeezer spreader clamps.
Mm-hmm.
They're infinitely useful. And I have some old F-style clamps. I never use them anymore.
So next question, who has influenced you?
I would say primarily the in-class instructors. And the two that have probably had the biggest influence on me of all of those are probably Peter Galbert and Dan Fea. Peter, not only because of that big book he published on Windsor chair making, but just I've been to maybe 6 classes with Peter over the past few years. And from one class to the next, he's always come up with a new method. He's really innovative. And then Dan Fea has just taught me a bunch of stuff that I never dreamed I could do, from, you know, some very nice hand-cut dovetails to much nicer ball and claw feet than I'd ever done in the past. And usually his classes involve some kind of project, so you're taking home something awfully nice. So, and I like that fine furniture stuff. If I had been on the ball, I would have gone right to North Bennett Street School when I retired, but it didn't occur to me that they would take old guys. So I blew my chance, but.
Oh man,
I feel like I'm getting it. I'm getting the course now anyway by just going to see it a few times a year.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, Rex could tell you all about going there as a retired person. Yeah, he had a great time.
Well, you know, it was listening to Rex on your show that finally occurred to me I could have gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right when I retired.
Yep. For sure you could.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mike. Our third question is, what is your woodworking white whale? Meaning, what is the one thing that you always wanted to make but have not yet made?
Well, there are two things I really want to make. And one is a full-size pie crust table, the one that spins and pivots, and with all the carvings on the legs and the feet and the in the center pedestal. So I got to work up to that one. There's a lot of all that acanthus leaf carving and stuff that I got to book some classes, learn how to do that. And then the second one is every time I go to Dan Fea's shop, I look at his version of the North Bennett Street School tool chest, which is a little bigger and fancier than the ones they make today. And I'd like to learn how to make his tool chest. It's really impressive.
Interesting. Okay.
It's a lot of drawers and very, very fine dovetails.
I'll have to look for that. I'm sure it's in some backgrounds of some of those fine woodworking articles or videos.
Probably. Yeah.
So next question, number 4, what is
I do want to say that these next two questions are new for the 5 questions. As we progress,
we're evolving.
Above 500th episode, so to speak, we're changing things up a little bit. So trying to make things more relevant. So, Sean, go ahead.
For sure. So, Mike, what is your number one tip for fellow woodworkers?
Well, I got three.
All right. That's more than one.
Okay. 1A, 1B, 1C.
1A, 1B.
First and most important one is sharpen it. If you're even vaguely thinking it might be time to sharpen, just sharpen it.
Got it.
You'll be happy.
For sure.
And the second one is just try it. After all, it's just wood, and you can still put it in the wood stove if it didn't work out. And it's sometimes amazing what we can do if we just give ourselves a chance to try it.
Yeah, agreed.
And my third tip is sort of that how to do it is somewhere in like the fine woodworking archives or on YouTube. In-person classes are way more fun, but if you can't get to one for any one of a million good reasons, it's out there. You can find out how to do it. It's well documented.
Yeah, but by this point, there's somebody's thought of that idea probably and has at least given it a go.
Oh yeah.
And if nothing else, you can learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been published or it's on the internet or it's out there somewhere.
And I would tell you, if you generally like some of the stuff on fine woodworking, it'd be worth doing their unlimited for 1 year at least, because you have literally unlimited access to everything they published. Mm-hmm. And it's all a nice PDFs, and you could literally download the whole history if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured I would just try it once, and I think I'm still in that first 12 months, but I found just a ton of great articles and information in there on like anything you can think of. Somewhere in the last 45 years, they did it.
I was going to say, they got four decades plus of information there available.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in some grandfathered only digital program. So I don't know. I get access to everything that they do, but it's like $35 a month, a year, or something like that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Oh, that's a sweet deal. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I don't get any of the print copies or anything like that. And that's I keep saying I need to get the print copies, but then when I go there and go, if I want the same amount of access I have now, it's the $100 option. So like, well, I'll just keep with, you know, where I am until they tell me I can't, you know, have that program anymore. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, Mike, our last question here is, what is your go-to finish?
Well, my answer is going to tell you that I've been making Windsor chairs. I'm painting it. It's a real milk paint company's milk paint, mm-hmm. usually followed by a little oil varnish thinner mix to brighten it up at the end. And then if it's a natural finish, probably two coats of Birchwood Casey's True Oil, which is their gunstock oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that kind of seals everything up. And then one or two coats of Seiko's hard wax oil. Or if it's not something people are going to touch, it needs to be kind of silky smooth and everything, but it'll be like I did a carved whale that's up on the wall and the plaque for that. Then I do multiple coats of shellac rubbed with pumice and rotten stone.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. So so are you mixing your own oil varnish finish?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really easy.
What are you using to mix?
I use some form of linseed oil.
Okay.
And my favorite is from the Tried and True brand, but mm-hmm. I'll use whatever's available.
Okay.
And then for varnish, I use the Epiphanies. They have, I think the standard one kind of yellows things a little bit, but they mm-hmm. have one that's for interior use only. That is supposed to be a more clear and less yellowing.
Okay.
I've used them both. I can't tell the difference because once you put them on the milk paint, it gets, I would say much darker, whatever the color is, it's more intense. When you do that. And then thinner, and you know, I use the Epiphany's thinner just to be sure it behaves well with the varnish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I roughly do probably maybe half varnish, half linseed oil, and half, I'm not, 10% varnish, 25% linseed oil, and 25% thinner. Although I mix it up. Sometimes it's a third, a third, a third. I thought I would find some magic ratio, but they kind of all seem to work just fine.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to be super precise, I don't think.
Oh, it's nice.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, so, Mike, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Just on Instagram under Viral Woodworking.
Fantastic. Brian, what about yourself?
Instagram as well for me. And it's just Obst Woodworking. And Obst is just O-B-S-T. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me on Instagram at Bart.Kyle or BB Custom Tools, bbcustomtools.com, or on YouTube under BB Custom Tools and Kyle Barton. Sean, what about yourself?
As usual, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.